I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. Coming up in the next hour, we'll reflect on Tuesday night's fantastic 2-0 win at home to Bristol Rovers. We'll hear from Phil with our match briefing in a few moments' time. We'll get the thoughts of new head coach Mike Dodds as well post-match, and also look forward to Saturday's visit of Wigan Athletic, also in League One. Furthermore, thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll catch up with former defender Will Antwi, who of course helped the side to the playoffs and also promotion to League One in his 4 years there. Although, strangely, the automatic promotion to League One isn't mentioned in the chat. I know. Not sure why either. Something just dawned on me. That's on the way as well. And we'll catch up with Wickham Wanderers women's captain Bobby Lynch as well. Lots more to bring you too, including news of a fixture rearrangement and possibly some other stuff too. But let's start with our chat with Phil. Of course, if you did catch the game either at Adams Park on Tuesday or indeed listened to the commentary, you'll know there were so many positives to take.
Yeah, really positive night, wasn't it? Great performance, great result, 2 goals and a clean sheet. First home game for Mike Dodds as head coach. Really a lot of boxes ticked that night. The performance side of it especially was really, really good. As Mike reflected afterwards, you know, to go in at 0-0 at half-time, felt that we should have probably been ahead at that point. But I think we were so in control of the game. I think it was, you know, the calmness of the performance. And then, you know, I think we said on the commentary as the guys came out for the second half, you know, the first 10, 15 minutes is, I think, the most important part of the game. And 5 minutes into the second half, Cameron Humphreys rolls us into the lip. And it was once we were in the lead there, it did feel very comfortable from there. You know, Will Norris had a couple of saves to make, one really good one in the first half. But it felt like we were in control. It felt like a comfortable night. And then when the second goal came, it meant that it was a very enjoyable atmosphere. Obviously, 2-0, the next goal then becomes very big, but nothing came at either end. So it was one to really enjoy. Dan Udo, 2-2 for him, which is what you need. Everyone talks about the squad game, and Dan's been playing out on the left or the right, very rarely through the middle. But when now Richard's been injured, Dan's been going through the middle. And on Saturday, I thought he had a really good performance, especially in the first half, got his goal, backed it up again on Tuesday night. And it's really interesting speaking to Mike Dodds after the match about what he had to say.
Really complete performance. I felt we controlled it from the first whistle to the last whistle. I thought we were really unlucky not to come in at half-time up. We spoke at half-time just having a little bit more quality in the top end of the pitch. We needed the front half of the pitch players to have a little bit more quality, and they did that very early, and the game was put to bed, really.
There seemed to be an assuredness about it. You said coming in at 0-0, but there didn't seem to be any panic. It just seemed to be the game plan is working. Let's keep at it.
Yeah, and that will be kind of my script going forward. Like, we drew on Saturday and I got a little feeling it was a little bit panicky, and I like to say to people, like, just relax. Like, there's a lot of football still to be played, and it's amazing, kind of 72 hours later, you know, everyone's kind of bouncing off the ceilings. But my responsibility now is to keep everyone level, because we're only as good as the next game. I think I keep getting asked about results outside Wickham, and I keep saying that, like, I'm not bothered about the results, because we've just got to take care of our processes. We've got to take care of what we're doing. And if we do that, we haven't got to worry about anyone else.
A debut tonight for Finback, a first start for Xavier Simons as well, and excellent performances.
Yeah, listen, I don't really want to single anyone out, because I generally felt the performance from everyone, even the guys that came on the pitch. I thought they came on were really professional when they came on the pitch. But yeah, like, Finn, I felt in this game we needed more of a natural right back. Someone that kind of had kind of more natural tendencies to get up and down on that side of the pitch. And it was a really tough decision, obviously, to take Deck out, because he's been very consistent in terms of those games. And I felt Caleb coming in for Sonny, I felt terrible on Sonny, because he's done nothing wrong really in the two games, but I felt Caleb, in terms of stepping out from the back, this would be his game. And I'm going to have to make loads of those calls, because we've got some real quality in the squad in lots of positions. So I'm not afraid of making big decisions. I've made a couple of big decisions. I thought Jav, when he came on Saturday, settled the game down a little bit, and he showed me enough on Saturday where I kind of thought that this would be a good time to introduce him as a team.
The Cam Humphreys goal, a big moment in the game as well, and it seemed to be an excellent start to the second half, and 5 minutes later we're 1-0 up.
Yeah, look, he's a good player, Cam. He knows my thoughts on him. He's a clever footballer, and I think the one thing we spoke about on the training pitch yesterday was how does he find better positions on the pitch to try and get a level of control in the game. I felt on Saturday he was a little bit fixed in terms of his positions, and listen, the game style didn't help him, don't get me wrong, because I'm sure his neck was hurting when he came off the pitch, but I felt his movement was a lot cleverer, and I felt he found areas of the pitch that allowed us to have more control. And if you look at his goal, he pops up in a really, really good area and takes his goal really well.
Lots of fans asking about Richard Kone as well, and any news on him?
Richard's back in training, and Richard's now going to have to try and get back in the team after what is a really professional performance.
It's a squad game, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And there's no one more important than anyone else. As I said, you know, there will be some decisions where sometimes players will be playing and then sometimes they might find themselves out of the squad. That will be based game to game. It will be based in terms of how they conduct themselves on the training pitch. But, you know, we'll make big calls, you know, for the best of the football club to try and win on a Saturday.
And your experience here at Adams Park, first home game in the home dugout, how did you find it?
Everything I hoped it would be. 3 points helps massively. But yeah, you know, whether it's been away from home or this evening, I felt a real warmth from the fans, from the staff. Long may that continue. And obviously results will help that. But yeah, I feel at home very, very quickly.
Great to get the head coach's thoughts, and really interesting to hear him talking about Cameron Humphreys as well, and highlighting that Saturday's game didn't really suit his game.
Yeah, it's you know, what we've seen, like the feedback from the players from Sunderland when Mike left to join us was, you know, how much they enjoyed working with him as a coach and developing players. And it's really lovely little snapshot there in that interview about, you know, in between the Saturday and the Tuesday with Cameron. He's been such a fabulous player for us on loan from Ipswich. So really interesting to see that, you know, that development and working on bits and pieces. And yeah, great for Cameron to get his goal as well. But it's not just goals that he offers the team. He's got that little bit of spark, that pass, that bit of vision that's a joy to watch, because, you know, when you see a footballer do something you're not expecting and it's brilliant, then that's what you pay money for, to watch football. And Cameron's been doing that regularly for Wycombe Wanderers, and it'd be really lovely to see that continue to develop between now and the end of the season, because the positive impact he's had on us has been brilliant. But yeah, the other thing I loved in Mike's interview as well about, you know, everyone's been asking, you know, is Richard Kone near to returning? And he said, yeah, he's back out on the training pitch. And then the caveat of, but he's got to get back in the team. And that's the same across now from 1 to 11, which is a brilliant situation for the club to be in. Obviously, Mike has to manage that situation, which he's referred to himself a few times. But it's a brilliant, brilliant headache for him to have, because once you're in, you want to stay in, you want to keep doing that. And the only way to do that is by performing brilliantly. So, yeah, things are set perfectly, I think, for now and the end of the season.
And great, we're starting to see some of the new arrivals from January out on the pitch as well. Finn Back was one of those who really impressed on Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. You know, it's a player that not many Wycombe fans would have known much about. He had a loan spell at Carlisle in League Two in League One, I think it was, when he was up there. But they spoke very highly of him, you know, and I think he slotted in perfectly. And it's interesting, obviously, it was such a busy window, wasn't it? And lots of fans, you know, they want to see the new players. Of course they do. But it's about, you know, when you do it, how you assimilate them into the group, into the system and everything else. And I think we saw the results of that on Tuesday with Finn Back going into what's been quite a settled back four now. When you look at, you know, Harvey, Taylor Lowe, you know, these names start to trip off the tongue. And now Finn Back in there, which has added some real depth and quality in that position. With the injury to Captain Jack and Jasper as well, it means that there's some real competition that will be hotting up there, which is perfect as well. Sonny Bradley stepped down to the bench on Tuesday, and he's been in really good form. So but there's real quality now across the positions, certainly across the defence that we've just been talking about, but all over the pitch. So, and I thought it was a great full debut and first home debut and first start for Xavier Simons in midfield. I thought he was excellent on Tuesday too. And the word that really keeps cropping up at the moment is control. And I think he really helped control the game in midfield, where Wycombe really wrestled control of the game in those positions. And it was a joy to watch. So, yeah, some really good work in the transfer market. And then once they're in, it's about then getting them up to speed and getting them in at the right time. And so far, so good.
And really nice of Mike to hear in his chat just now about how he enjoyed his first home game as well.
Yeah. Look, Adams Park under the lights. It's a rearranged game, and sometimes they're tricky in the cold and the wet. But, you know, people are coming out there and starting to get behind Wycombe Wanderers for their home games. And we've got some big old games between now and the end of the season. And hopefully we can really start to pack out the park and the fans can play their part. But, you know, it's wonderful for Mike to kind of experience that and get that first win under his belt as well in the league. You know, a draw and a win now, and a really good platform to kick on for the next home game against Wigan on Saturday.
And we shouldn't celebrate other teams' misfortunes, of course, but great news on Tuesday that Wigan, not Wigan, that Wrexham were defeated as well. So that's put quite a cushion between the automatic promotion places and the playoffs.
Yeah, look, you know, the staff and the players are all just completely focused on what we can do as a club and get the points and worry about the rest later. And it's, I've always said, you know, it's our job as fans, isn't it? It's to worry about everything else and get the alerts on your phone and, you know, the nervous glances down at the latest scores and everything. And, you know, when Wrexham went 1-0 up against Leyton Orient, they're at home and you think, well, okay, well, they'll probably go on to win that. But Leyton Orient have been in such fantastic form themselves. You know, there's been a few people that wouldn't have been surprised that they came back and got the win and rode out some nervy moments for them at the end of it to get the 2-1 win, which made it the perfect night for Wycombe Wanderers. It's given us that 5-point buffer between second and third. But look, there's going to be so many twists and turns between now and the end of the season. So, fans will obviously be keeping abreast of all the latest scores around the divisions that affect us. But the players, fortunately, are focused and head down and just doing what they can do because we're in the box seat at the moment.
Well, you mentioned Wigan coming on Saturday. It's a great opportunity for perhaps anyone who couldn't make it on Tuesday to really come along and enjoy, you know, the new players and obviously the new head coach as well.
Yeah, look, you know, there's no better time to get behind your football team, your local football team, because Wigan are doing fantastically well. Like I say, you know, they're not up there by accident. By this stage of the season, you're up there on merit. We've had a fantastic transfer window. The head coach Mike has settled in and we're moving now towards the business end of the season. I need to get full clarification of when the official start of the business end of the season starts. I'll promise to do that for next week, Colin.
Yeah, please do.
But we've just been chatting to Joe Lowe for Wanderers TV and he was like, well, you know, the business starts on day one of the season for us and it's business, 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 which I think is the perfect response. And how many times can we say the word business between now and the end of the season, Colin? That's another question.
That would be good business if we can. I think we need a catchphrase, don't we? I don't think we haven't got one yet.
We'll work on that for next one.
So what would you like to see from the team on Saturday especially?
Well, 5 goals and a clean sheet. I've been joking. You know, it'd be lovely to see a convincing win. I think, you know, just a win is obviously what we all want. But look, you know, the way that we play football on Tuesday night, an extension of that would be great. But every team is going to come to Adams Park now and see where we are on the table and respect that. And we've seen teams coming deeper and putting the low block in and finding ways to play around that and adapting. So, any form of win or points is to be respected in League One. So, as fans, we all want to see, you know, dazzling football and convincing wins. But sometimes those last-minute winners are equally as exciting as we've got to know of late as well. So, first and foremost, it's the result. If we can do that in style, then even better. And if we can do that with a clean sheet, then that would be even better too. So, look, you know, they're never dull, these games. And like I say, we're into a really exciting stage of the season now. So yeah. You know, entertainment, wins and goals. You know, I don't want much.
Much to look forward to across 90 minutes, or possibly even longer, of course.
Yeah, there's always the minimum to be added on at the end. Who knows what that will be. I'm going to guess 6 at this stage.
Enjoy the game and thanks a lot for your time.
Cheers, Colin.
Brilliant to hear from Phil. As always, he'll be bringing you full match commentary from Adams Park on Saturday when Wycombe Wanderers take on Wigan Athletic. You'll be able to hear that here live on Wycombe Sound and on Wanderers TV, where you can also hear an extended interview with Mike Dodds speaking after the Bristol Rovers game. More match reaction there as well.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
part two of the Wickham Wanderer show. Some club news to bring you. The rearranged Rotherham United trip is taking place now on Tuesday the 18th of March. Still to come this hour as well, we'll catch up with Bobby Lynch from Wickham Wanderers Women, who have got some good news about a fixture of theirs, which is taking place also on that same evening as well. More news on that to come as well. But first, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, always brilliant to catch up with former members of the team who've worn the Sky and Navy quarters. This week, been chatting to defender Will Antwi, who spent 4 years at the club, and brilliant to get his earliest memory.
Well, that'd probably be day one, really, wouldn't it? Because if I remember correctly, I got injured on day one of training. I remember chasing Nathan Tyson in training and doing something to my groin. And then I didn't play for about 10, 11 months. So that's my earliest memory of Wickham Wanderers. So just post Aldershot, having lost in the playoff 2 years in a row with Aldershot, and then coming to join Wickham. I remember John Gorman himself took me for my medical, took me to the hospital and brought me back. And then we had first day training, feeling something slightly in training. And I think usually after training, back in those days, we'd always do DOMS and some press-ups. I remember having to tell whoever it was that was in charge, like, no, I can't do it, I'm not feeling too great. And then I don't think I played again until God knows when, whenever was it, into the following year, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't go after the best of starts. But what were your first impressions?
I can't say I have a vivid memory of anything other than really, you know, like I said, the thing I remember now was that John took me for my medical, and then he was so generous and so kind while I was injured. You know, I remember he would come in the changing room and he always had this really sort of like affectionate way of greeting everyone with a slap and a handshake and a grab of the back of the net and, you know, a little ruffle and a shake. And months after months, you know, you come into a club, you come into a place and you're not able to do the job that they're paying you to do. It's difficult. And, you know, I remember throughout that time that I felt really well supported, or, you know, I never felt how, so he never made me feel anything other than like looking forward to seeing me return. Whereas, you know, I've been injured in some certain different places and you can't help but get the feeling that they regret having ever laid eyes on you, or that they blame you for any problems that come along. But no, so I think it's a positive first impression of Wickham.
Did that make you sort of extra hungry to kind of get going as well because of that layoff that you had initially?
I wouldn't say it made me extra hungry. I think I was young and I was hungry to be successful, you know, no matter what. But it was, I think subsequently, the way I was treated meant that, you know, I remember I was devastated when we didn't. I think the first year where we lost in the playoffs to Cheltenham in the semi-final, I think that was the first time in my life where I was very, very upset, not for me having lost, but for having lost and the manager having lost. That upset me the most, that we couldn't win it for the manager and we, you know, that we couldn't deliver success for him because he'd been so kind and so generous to me, I thought. Yeah, that's how I felt, really.
And you had such a great team at that time as well, with some fantastic players and great characters as well.
No, we did. We had some memorable people who I'm still in touch with now at the moment. No, I say it's going to be memorable to us because that was our time, but, you know, I can think clearly back to Stefan Oakes, Kevin Betsy, Tommy Mooney, Jermaine Easter, Danny Sander, Mike Williamson, Roger Johnson, Russell Martin, Matt Bloomfield, obviously the Sergio Torres himself, Johnny Dixon. You can tell it made a real impression in my life because I remember so many, you know, Frank Talia. I'm not. There's so many people that I'm missing out that it's almost ridiculous to try and go through the team. But yeah, I think there's some really talented players. And, you know, I remember, I think that was Rob Lee's last year playing. Rob Lee played in midfield at the time. You had Keith Ryan, you had Steve Brown, who was still involved. And yeah, it was a good time.
And of course, as well, not just your ability on the pitch as a group, also individually, but you know, so many of those names that you mentioned, and including yourself in that as well, were such fan favourites as well.
Well, I'm not sure if I was a fan favourite. I think Sergio was a fan favourite. I think,
admittedly, there weren't Will Antwi wigs in the club shop.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what a guy! What a great guy he was. Yeah, listen, I think we were fortunate to have such talented people. I think we were fortunate to have such talent management in trying to allow us to express ourselves and play football. You know, I think the old quotation marks the right way. If anything, we were that, probably maybe a bit more solidity, and we might have got promotion first time round. But yeah, we had some memorable characters, you know, and so many went on to do so well beyond Wickham. So that shows. Certainly there was talent there.
Absolutely. So many of those names that you mentioned in management as well. You know, obviously some more recently have lost their jobs, but some are doing great as well.
No, listen, it's remarkable really, isn't it? You look at coaches that have come out of that team, I would say, you know, you've got Matt recently, obviously, having just left there, it's gone to Luton. Russell Martin had done ever so well at all the clubs that he's been at, MK Swansea and Southampton. You know, Kevin Betsy, he's having a fantastic coaching career, you know, from the FA to Arsenal to his own stint in charge at Crawley and, you know, bits at Wigan and so on and so forth now, you know, doing really, really well at QPR in the Championship now. To Mike Williamson, again, you know, started off at KZ to MK and, you know, unfortunately having recently lost his position at Carlisle. But like, yeah, lots of people have come out of it and continuing to, you know, coach.
And obviously you played under John Gorman and Paul Lambert, I guess two very different management styles and footballing philosophies as well.
Very much so, yes. I look back and I marvel at the simplicity of the way we try to play football under John. And it's interesting, you hear the old adage on lots of coaching courses about they don't really remember what you did, but they remember how you made them feel. And that was so true with John. You know, really all I remember is how he made us feel and what he tried to convey, you know, play football, get it down and pass, get it down and play, entertain the crowd. Those are the bits I remember. I don't really remember a great deal about any sort of overly complicated footballing training session. Not to say that we didn't do that. I think that's just the flaw of the player's memory. I don't want to make anyone feel that they didn't coach us brilliantly. But yeah, you know, fantastic coach, fantastic human being John was. And Paul Lambert came in with his own brand of football and his own style, should I say, his own way of management, which managed to get an element of success. But yeah, I think I had a period under Peter Taylor as well, who was a fascinating and interesting man. You know, I'm not sure Peter and I understood each other as well as we should, but I thought he was a fantastic custodian of the club, got them up, promoted. Unfortunately, I think, I'm not sure if they came back down the very next year, but I loved his detail and his energy and his enthusiasm in what he tried to put across.
I'm sure you never tire of talking about that run to the League Cup semi-final and those two games against Chelsea.
There's not many people to talk to about. Like, it's only you asking me. I'm not sure many people know. But no, listen, it was a good time for us. And I think even without that, we had a really good year that year. I think it was at the year where we sort of maybe went to like 19 games unbeaten. Or was that the following year with Peter? I can't quite remember. But the Football League run was certainly, it was nice and it was a good experience and gave us some insight into playing some of the sort of, I remember going to Swansea and having a really good game alongside Mike in that game. I think we went to Craven Cottage. Did we even play at Charlton? I think we played at Charlton as well. Played Charlton in that run. But yeah, listen, it was nice. It was nice.
And great for you, I guess, to be able to test yourself against some, obviously some top players in the form of Chelsea, but also, as you say, in the run to that last four games as well.
I think those are the experiences you play for. You want to reach the highest level and test yourself and see where you measure up. And, you know, if very briefly, we at least got a chance to show that, you know, we had some semblance of talent. Maybe we couldn't probably deliver it as consistently as those other boys could do. But yeah, we had some quality that could sort of shine from time to time.
And what seemed to work so well is throughout your time at the club, there was such a blend of both youth and experience as well.
It did. You know, I look back at now sort of like the balance between you take a Jermaine Easter and Tommy Mooney. I think, like I said, when I came in the beginning and in midfield where you've got Rob Lee sort of leading the run, another really, really influential person in my personal time at Wickham would be Keith Ryan, you know, who was fantastic for me, not only as a coach, but, you know, just as a friend in trying to help me develop as a player. Those things are priceless, really. You probably have to jog my memory about sort of like those sort of balances of, you know, old and young across the team. You know, I think about Clint Easton playing on the left and Danny Sender playing on the right. You know, that in itself was another sort of balance. But yeah, there was some good people there, some good people.
And people like Akechi Anya and Joe Bunnell, of course, as well, another youngster. And, yeah. And you had those, yes, as you say, like Steve Brown and Keith Ryan as John's assistants at the time as well. Brilliant. Got keeping that heritage as well.
Yeah, you know, people who had played for the club, who had the best interest of the club, people who could explain to us about... I remember us once having some discussions about what the yearly bonuses were going to look like, and those guys having been there before understood how to strike that balance between what worked for the players and what worked for the club. And, you know, those things are really important, because without that, we don't know whether we're getting a good deal, and we don't understand anything other than what maybe we think's best for us. But sometimes, you know, we have to find the balance between what works for the club and what works for the players. So no, those guys were really, really good.
And obviously so sad about John's personal circumstances, obviously with Mark Filo before that as well.
Yes, it was a difficult time for us, I think, from the February through to the March or to the end of the season. A poignant moment in my football career, really. Though it didn't affect me personally in any way, but like it brings everything into perspective about the fragility of life, and it's a shame. It was a tricky time. It was a difficult time, and yeah.
Was there anything else that was like really memorable, other occasions or games that really stand out during your 4-year spell at the club? And fantastic that you were there for such a long period, I guess.
I spent a lot of time in the physio room. I was fortunate to come across Dave Jones, who I wholeheartedly owe the rest of my footballing career to, really, because without him, I don't think I would ever have got back into any kind of shape to continue playing for God knows how long I played. But Dave Jones was incredibly important in my football career, in the way he was so fastidious, the way he was so curious to try and find genuine solutions to the problems that I had. I probably would say that my time at Wickham was probably tainted a little bit, but by my inability to be where I knew I could be or where I wanted to be. And so when I think back about the games, and yeah, I think they're the obvious highlights, but you know, there's a lot of time spent on the treadmill, a lot of time spent on the rower, there's a lot of time spent on the physio bed, you know, getting ultrasound. There was a lot of time spent traveling between specialists and so on and so forth.
You must have had great mental strength as well to kind of get through those periods too.
I don't know. Sometimes you've got no option but to keep going, haven't you? I wouldn't be able to say if I've got great mental strength or not, but certainly I was determined to do well, determined to try and be a success in life in some way, and that's what I was doing and that's what I do. And I think carrying that same sort of energy into, you know, my energy and determination to help, you know, others in my coaching now. Sometimes you don't know you don't know how to manage, but just to keep going, and you just do. So yeah, I'm not sure if it's by design or anything like that.
And fantastic that you made 200 professional appearances as well, so you must be very proud of, and both at Wickham obviously, but the other clubs that you played for too.
200? No, surely I made more. I think it's you're selling me about 20 games short.
Over 200, let's say over 200.
And yeah, say over 200. I'm pretty sure I hold on to that quite tightly. No, listen, I tried, and I had a good time. I had a good career. not the exact career I wanted, but I'm ever so grateful to have had the experience. I think playing football for a living is a fantastic experience in life that I wish for anyone who's able to have that opportunity. It really is. To play in life for a living is a fantastic thing. So although it wasn't, you know, as regular and as consistent as I would have wanted it to be, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And then beyond that, the sort of life experiences it's managed to give me are invaluable. This is one of the things why I'm a real advocate for football, especially in youth development, because I think what football gives you in life is so much more than what people realise. You know, if you're a 6-year-old and you join a football club and you're unfortunate to get released at 16 because you don't quite get a scholarship, you've had a fantastic, fantastic education if you've gone to a decent club, because what you would have learnt there is how to deal with success, how to deal with failure, how to challenge yourself, how to work in a group, how to travel the world. There's so much that football gives you that's beyond, you know, the money that you get, that's beyond I think the obvious things that people see, that as a person, you know, I'd put any of my kids through football, because I think, you know, it's a vehicle for learning some really, really important lessons in life. You know, I'm not sure how many accountants are being tested every day when they go into work. You know, as a football player, you're under that scrutiny every day. You have to perform because you need to get yourself into the team on Saturday. You know, I'm not sure how many accountants have, you know, whether it's like 500 or 50,000 people come and watch them to judge your performance, you know, very, very vocally. And then unfortunately these days, even take it as far as to judge you on social media. Like, football gives you a fantastic life experience. So yeah, whether it was 10 games or 210 games, I'm grateful for the experience that I had.
And fantastic that you're still involved in football. And as you say, with coaching, especially with youngsters previously at Tottenham, and of course now with England under-15s, and now, of course, with the under-19s, that must be so rewarding for you.
No, it is. I had some very good coaches. And that inspired me to want to sort of support others, because I saw in my journey that actually people could help you. So if I don't come across John Cartwright at Crystal Palace, I probably don't reach Wickham. If I don't come across John Gorman at Wickham, I probably don't get to Dagenham. You know, if I don't come across John Steele, I probably am not interested in coaching that much. And, you know, and I don't get to John McDermott at Tottenham. Football and the people that I came across, you know, inspired me greatly. And so, you know, I try to give to those that I come across that same sort of challenge and support to try and be the very best that they can, and even more than what they realize sometimes. So no, it's been a fascinating journey, I would say, that from playing to coaching, and from 8 years at Tottenham. I think I started playing at Tottenham when I was still playing at Dagenham. I remember one day seeing Mark Harbour come into the changing room after training session, like all dressed in his Arsenal kit. And I was like, well, where are you going, Mark? And he said, I'm going coaching. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, no, I coach at Arsenal. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy's actually already started his next career while he's still playing. And, you know, that sort of prompted me to sort of jump on trying to get my badges and plan a little bit further ahead. Because I don't know, I always fancied myself like I'd like to give that same support that I got when I was young at Crystal Palace to some others. And, you know, God knows how many years later, here I am, you know, working at the FA with the under-19s.
And as you say, you recommend football to your children, and your son and daughter are actually involved with your daughter at Spurs and your son at Leatherhead as well.
Yeah, so my daughter's in the under-21 class of the academy. Yes, so my daughter's at the academy at Tottenham. My son plays for Leatherhead. In all fairness, my next two daughters don't play football at the moment, because I just think they're not interested. And I'm not trying to force them, but I still value that what you get out of football. And the two that took it up, you know, I think I've got some fantastic pictures of me and my son when I was warming down on Adams Park, and he'd been mascot, so I think he got that love for football in that period. Whereas I think the younger ones haven't quite seen me in any kind of football environment, so it's not as immediate to them.
Oh, it's brilliant that the football has given you that, and for your family as well. And just finally, overall, how do you look back at your time at the club?
I think that was probably the longest stint I'd had at a club since Crystal Palace, and I don't think I had a longer period of time at any other club than I did at Wickham. I really, really enjoyed it. There were some fantastic people there, player-wise, staff-wise, fan-wise. I still remember Tina avidly. What a wonderful lady that woman is. And again, I don't even want to start mentioning all the names beyond in case I forget someone. But I had a great time then, and I'm glad I was able to contribute in some small way to sort of the journey of Wickham Wanderers. I met some fantastic people. It shaped and helped me a great deal. And I look out for Wickham. I've returned to the club many a time to watch, it was a fantastic experience, really, and one I'm very grateful for.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to catch up with you and to share your memories, and obviously wish you all the best with your coaching career as well. And it was brilliant to watch you during your time at the club. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Really great to chat to you. Centre-back Will Antwi, who was at Adams Park between 2005 and 2009. Some other Wickham Wanderers ex-players association news. A midfielder who only left the club a matter of weeks ago. David Wheeler has been reunited with Gareth Ainsworth. It was confirmed today that he has joined Shrewsbury as a free agent. No doubt he'll be returning to Adams Park on the 1st of April, along with Gareth and Dobbo and possibly some other former players as well. That's one to watch out for in the calendar. And we wish David Wheeler, obviously, all the best with his new club.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
I mean, we came back into that big game against Ascot, which was probably not the right time. Although we felt quite confident in our abilities, you could just tell we were, anyone who sort of watched the game can tell we were like just a couple of yards off it, when you're not quite match fit. But to come away with a 2-1 loss was, yeah, difficult, but not the end of the world, I suppose, upon reflection. But since then, we've been back to winning ways. We've progressed in the cup, and we've got the quarter final coming up this weekend, so that's a really exciting game against Porchester. And then we've got Porchester again in the league the following week, which, so we've obviously got them twice, looking for positive results in both of those games, I suppose. But yeah, since the winter break, we've been got back on form and continue to sort of score the goals we were before, and defensively keep the clean sheets and stuff that we were. So yeah, pretty good overall.
Well, I imagine as a captain, it's really nice to have a sort of consistent side, but also really nice when you've got new players coming in. And at the weekend, you had a number of debutants as well.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you know what it's like in football. Those things happen. It's half term. People are away. So we had a couple of senior players missing. So we had some new loanees that we've got in. I don't think we've even announced them yet, but they made their debuts on Sunday, and it was really positive to see them coming in and getting on the score sheet and getting assists and getting good minutes under their belt. Two young girls we've loan signed from Oxford United, and then some other of our sort of existing younger players also getting some match minutes as well, which is really positive. And it's really nice when your first team player is away and those players can step in and continue to make a good game and help us with the win.
And we should take the opportunity to ask how you're pleased with your own game as well this season as well, how that's been going.
Yeah, personally, it's been good for me. I've got lots of minutes. I've stayed relatively injury-free. I think I've missed one game. I missed the Woodley game because I had a knock-in training on my ankle. But it was sort of a personal choice to come out and not risk it because we've got a lot of games coming up, and it's a busy period and a crucial period for us where we don't want to have too many players missing. But apart from that, yeah, really good, actually.
And I guess as well, you don't get much chance to really reflect on how far the team's come, even just in the last 12 months with the signings that you made, and now that you're challenging for the top of the table compared to where you were last season.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think I speak to Kyle a lot about it, and we reflect and we think about this, where we were at this stage last season, how games would have gone last year compared to how they've gone this year. And I think it's really clear to see the progression in the team, to see when you watch the games back and we do our analysis and we play week in, week out, there are so many positives to take. And, you know, there always has been positives, but now you really see the work we do at training coming out on the pitch and the patterns of play and all those things that the coaches want to see are like second nature to us, and we perform well all the time, which is really good for us. And it's just, it's nice to be part of the growth as well for me. I think I've seen it change over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and to still be here and still see it and be one of few players who have sort of been on the whole journey is really nice. And when I do reflect on that, yeah, I'm very proud of the way the team's developed.
And do you really notice that yourself, obviously, with players that make great progress as well?
Yeah, and I notice it with sort of in my own game at the moment, like bringing in players and different players from who have also played at sort of a higher level, is always really helpful to like sort of raise my game back up again and create a new training environment where the standards are set and they're high, which has helped me, I think, this season really focus. And not that I haven't in previous seasons, but it just really keeps you on your toes and keeps you pushing and keeps you driving forward when you've got players around you who are so committed and so used to having such good training standards.
And it was great to chat to both Carl and yourself before the season, just saying that, you know, that looking to bring in that creativity and more goal scoring this season, and that's really happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stats we've got, I think, so far this season. I mean, our goal difference in the league is sort of like plus 24 or 25 or something like that. And I think Kayla, in all competitions, has scored 24 goals, I think I saw, on a blog that goes out weekly on Twitter. League top goal scorer. And so to have people like that in our team, along with Jess and E and everyone else who's contributing to the goals, it just makes a massive difference, because we sort of know someone will score each week. We hope they do. And, yeah, that really obviously benefits the team and puts us in the position where we are.
And really nice to be at this stage of the season with so much to play for. You mentioned the League Cup, and also, you know, it's so tight at the top in the league as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think we're at this point relying on Ascot to drop some points, but, you know, in football, you never know what's going to happen. We just got to focus on ourselves now and just try and win the remainder of our games, which isn't going to be easy because, like I said, we've got Portchester, who are up there at the top with us. We've got Oxford City, who are at the top there with us. Still got difficult games when we've got to play the likes of Reading, and that even though they're not having the strongest season, every game is still tough. We still need to sort of bring our best to make sure we secure all those points and just keep pushing. I've got to have to win.
And great that the women's team seems to really have an increase in support and interest as well, and you must notice that at games too.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I mean, I speak to a few of the regulars at both the men's and our games, which is really nice, and the crossover. Like I said to you before, I know a couple of people don't really come down to Burnham because it's, you know, it's quite far. That's been some feedback we've got and we're trying to address, which sort of leads me on to say that we have got a game at Adams Park, and I think the details of that will come out shortly, but it is planned to be on the 18th of March against Reading on a Tuesday night. So it would be great for as many, when those details go live, it would be really good for as many people to come down as possible and support us in our little local derby. So it hopefully that will help us grow some attendance and grow some fans, and people will continue to support us.
That is fantastic news, because it's a great advert for the women's team, and as you say, for supporters to come along and really get behind the team.
Yeah, and hopefully by then it won't be too cold either. So people will come down, and maybe it won't be raining, and maybe we'll get a few more people because of that.
And they should see plenty of goals and nothing else.
Yeah, they should do. And it's exciting. We have a very, very exciting team to watch now. I think if people have watched us before, we've always been, you know, quite attacking minded. But I think especially these days with the team that we have now and the players we have in our forward line and midfield, we yeah, we're an exciting team to watch. And I'm not even just biased. That's a fact.
Really nice as well to get to chat to the players on the show and perhaps find out a bit more about them as well, because I think that's really nice from a supporter's point of view, because it makes obviously the players a bit more human. And really nice to find out, you know, obviously we've spoken to you before about your work outside of football, but obviously that's something that you're really proud of as well.
Yeah, and I mean, the other day I went to an event at Adams Park, and it was the Show Races and the Red Card event. And there was two local schools there. And I had actually worked with the schools in my sort of day job. So I knew them, knew some of the staff already. So it was nice for the crossover of those two things when I'm doing the community stuff through the club to have that pre-existing link and people see that you can do a good job both with football and with your career if that's the way you have to go. And you know, because not all football is professional, as we know. So yeah, it's nice. I, you know, do a nice job on a farm as an alternative provision lead with a great team of colleagues working with young people. So yeah, it's nice to mix the two together sometimes.
And really nice and rewarding for you to kind of do that in your work life, but also obviously in the football as well, to see other youngsters kind of coming through as well.
Yeah, it's really good, and there's lots of community stuff that we try and do as a club, obviously with Wickham, but as a women's team, supporting with that when we can. And I've made a couple of little friends that I've seen at quite a few different events who play for the GDA and stuff like that. So it's really nice to create those links and to just inspire some young people in both my work and football to like pursue sport or to just refine their skills and stuff like that. So for me, that's really really rewarding part of both of my sort of hobbies.
It's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much, Niamh, for your time.
No problem.
Great chat again to Wickham Wanderers women's captain Bobby Lynch, if you're wondering who that was. There was supposed to be an introduction, but it seemed to have started without me. Great to catch up with her and wish them all the best in their quarterfinal in the League Cup on Sunday against Porchester. And as Bobby mentioned, they face the same opposition in the league. Let's return our attention to the men's team, though, and with the visit of Wigan Athletic on Saturday, just after new head coach Mike Dodds. I'm not sure how much longer we call him new head coach. It's fine for the moment, though, I'm sure. His first home game in charge at Adams Park, where, if you're not aware, because it's referred to in the chat, due to the increased number of flags behind the goal, Mike Dodds has been the subject of one of them. The Dodds father is a fantastic tribute to the new man in charge, and we'll get his reaction to that. But also, of course, how preparations are going for the game against Wigan after Tuesday night.
There was elements of Saturday that I liked, but obviously I think the pleasing thing from Tuesday is I felt we had a little bit more control, which isn't going to be the case for the kind of remaining games for every single game. You know, there will be some games like we had to do on Saturday where we had to kind of dig deep, because every game is not going to look the same from now to the end of the season. But what the group have showed is in the two games, two different sides to them, one where they've had to dig really, really deep and one where I felt they were really professional in terms of their performance. So, yeah, you know, I've three games now, two league games. I've seen three different sides of them, which is really positive.
And I guess really challenging for yourself to be able to identify, you know, kind of strengths and weaknesses of the players and what still needs to be worked on and what impresses you as well.
Yeah, look, that's going to be an ongoing process. That will be the kind of evolution of having me in as the head coach. I'm going to be the best version of me. And all I've asked the players is for them to be the best version of them. And throughout the kind of next little period, you know, I'll make mistakes. I'm positive of that because I'm a human being. They'll make mistakes, but it's about us all sticking together and hopefully achieving what we've set out to achieve.
Do you feel quite settled in, or would you say it's a bit early to say that?
I'm slowly getting there. I wouldn't say I'm fully settled. I wouldn't say I'm completely settled, but the welcoming I've had from the players and the staff and the supporters has been incredible. So I couldn't have asked for anything. I couldn't have asked for anything more in terms of what people have given me. But time, unfortunately, is something that in my position, you don't get given a huge amount of time. So I've got to try and settle as quickly as I can in terms of all my bits. But yeah, listen, I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place. There's no worries or concerns from a personal perspective.
And obviously, since we last spoke to you, you further added to your coaching team, which must really help in many ways.
Yeah, so obviously Sam Grace has stayed around the group, and he's been a huge asset to me in terms of he knows the group and he knows the kind of ins and outs of the group and the journey that they've been on. Tom and Pete have joined back end of the week. and they have very different skill sets, which is really, really important for me, because I'm a coach, I want to be on the grass, I want to spend time with the players, so I need other people to not be the opposite of me, but also, you know, have strength in other areas. And obviously Sam Vokes has stayed around the staff and been in a lot of the meetings, and you know, Sam's done incredibly well in terms of finding the balance between still obviously wanting to play, still being wanting to be part of the group, but also being selfless in terms of helping the football club out, helping the group out, helping me out, helping the staff. So we're finding a workflow. It's not there yet. It's definitely not there yet. There's still some clunkiness to it, but we're slowly finding a workflow which will only benefit us for the remaining games of the season.
I'm really interested to hear you speak after Tuesday night as well. Some of the players that have, I guess, given you sort of more challenges in terms of team selection when it came to their performances on Tuesday night, but also, you know, who'll be needed to fit in for Wigan on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be a really crucial part of my role, in terms of we do have a large squad, and obviously in League One, you have limited number of people you include in the squad, which is obviously slightly different to my previous experiences, which comes with some challenges. But yeah, look, unfortunately, I'm going to have some really difficult conversations from now to the end of the season, but I'll do it in a way which hopefully the players will respect. They won't like it, because every player wants to play minutes, every player wants to play games, but what they'll respect the fact that I try and do it in the most courteous and professional of manners.
And is there anything that, because I guess there's not too much time from playing on a Tuesday to playing on a Saturday, but are there particular things that you felt you needed to work on in between the two games?
Yeah, we had a review this morning. We've been out on the grass of the group train this morning. There was one or two things that we spoke about. Wigan will provide a different type of threat, which we have to be aware of. But ultimately, me coming to the football club was about evolving a style of play and an identity, which myself and the people above me, we are all on board with. And that's not going to happen over the next 15 games. It's going to be a long, gradual process. But hopefully it will be something that will bring a huge amount of success, not just in the short term, but in the long term of the football club.
Really nice for you to hear about your experience of your first home game. I guess on Saturday it's a great opportunity for perhaps anyone who didn't make it on Tuesday to really come along and show their support for both yourself and the team.
Yeah, it's not about me, so they don't need to come support me. Come support the team, come support the players, come support the fact that the club's in a wonderful position at the moment, not just on the pitch but also off the pitch. The huge amount of investment going into the football club, you know, a real strong direction in terms of the ownership group and what they want to do. So yeah, you know, come support the lads, come support the ownership group, come support the staff. And as always, we'll give everything we can to hopefully get 3 points.
Have you ever been on a big flag before?
No, but I didn't realise that till after the game. I'll be honest with you, I was so focused. I really struggled with the whole interaction in the game, because I'm so engrossed in the game in terms of what's going on. Sometimes I'm a little bit of oblivious to everything that's going on. And when I got back to my phone, obviously I realised there was, how do I put this? It was a lovely gesture. I really appreciate it. I genuinely couldn't have wished for a greater introduction to a football club. And I genuinely hope this is the start of a really fruitful and positive relationship. There'll be bumps in the road. Of course there will. You know, I'm only human. I'll make mistakes. And I'm sure at times results won't go the direction we will. But what we will do is, behind the scenes, we'll have a really, really strong process. We'll have a really strong way of working, which will give us really strong foundations to progress the football club. You know, from my perspective, I just want to reward the fan base with, one, first and foremost, winning, because that's the name of the game, but also a style of play and an identity which they can be really, really proud of, which, you know, evolves the football club beyond where we are at the moment.
Real pleasure chatting to Mike Dodds, of course, Wigan Wanderers head coach. He prepares to take charge of his second home game. That's on Saturday with the visit of Wigan Athletic to Adams Park. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. If you're not going, then you'll be able to hear the whole match live here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well, where, as mentioned, you can hear extended versions of that earlier chat with the head coach speaking after the Bristol Rovers game on Tuesday, and some other post-match reaction there. And Phil's chat with Joe Lowe, who we caught up with today, who is his birthday. So we wish him a very happy birthday. And also Xavier Simons as well, who is also celebrating today. Good time of year for birthdays, isn't it? Join us next week for the Wickham Wanderer Show here on Wickham Sound.